Good morning, everyone. If you could please turn your Bibles with me to 2 Peter, chapter 1. I apologize in advance if I keep coughing. I picked up Lauren's cold. So 2 Peter, verse 1. Chapter 1, verses 4 to 9. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance, and in their perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, God, and just for the, the privilege, Lord, to be able to come, Lord, and gather together, Lord, and worship together and pray. Father, we pray that you'll just open our hearts, God, and really reveal your word to us, God, the need for us to mature, God, as Christians, God. And so, Lord, we thank you, Father, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning's EMP is kind of a continuation from what I was talking about last week. If you guys weren't here last week, I'll just kind of give you a quick review. And last week I was talking about James chapter 1. And James in chapter 1 was talking about persevering through trials. And the idea that the perseverance of trials bring completes us. God is able to complete us through the trials that we go through. And the reason is for twofold. One, part of the reason we go through trials is because it's a sandbox for us to test the Word of God and to test our faith. And basically the idea is if you're a programmer, you know a sandbox is basically you take a program, you put it into your computer, but because you don't know whether the program is going to run well or not, what happens is you have to isolate the program within your computer to see if it works. And if it doesn't work, you have to keep rebuilding it until it finally works. And so the idea that trials, what James was saying is trials are good for us despite our difficult situations because it provides for us opportunity to grow in the Word. It provides opportunity for us to kind of be refined in what we believe in both the Word and how we act and our response to it. Meaning, you know, do we believe truly what the Word says? Do we rely on what the Word says? Are we able to live out our lives according to the Word? Or do we kind of backpedal into our old selves? And so that's one. And two, the second reason for trial and the idea of growth is that it gives to us a good measure of where we are at. And so I brought to us the idea of Deuteronomy 8. And remember in Deuteronomy 8, 2 to 3, it says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you into the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Well, the idea we talked about was God doesn't need to test us to know what's in our hearts. God doesn't need to put us into a situation to see how we react. In that way, he's not humanistic. Remember, he's omnipotent. He already knows what's in our heart. He knows how we'll react to situations. He knows whether we'll keep his commandments or not. But the idea is he puts us through trials so that we will know what's in our hearts, so that we will see whether we would keep his commandments or not, so that we will have a better idea whether we are actually in right relation with God or we are not in right relation with God. And so the idea was that trials is actually very beneficial for us. Well, the reason I'm moving into 2 Peter now is this is actually one of the more famous verses for the topic I'm going to be talking about today is the idea of spiritual formations. Last week, I talked a lot about trials, why it's necessary for us to go through trials. Well, the idea of spiritual formation is this. We go from I'll go through it a little bit later. But one of the things about spiritual formations is we want to go from a place of circumstantial growth to self-seeking growth. Okay, and the idea of what that means is circumstantial growth is the idea of we grow because our circumstances dictate that we need to grow, right? We grow because we whatever is happening in our lives, whatever is, you know, whether it's relationships or work, whatever the case may be, forces us to grow. That is circumstantial growth. Self-seeking growth is the idea that we recognize we are Christian and we have a relationship with God. And so we desire to grow in ourselves. And so what we do is we start putting ourselves into situations in which growth can take place. Okay, and so that's basically the idea of spiritual formations. And so this is where 2 Peter comes in. And now, before I kind of get into the points, let me go through a quick kind of background of why this is. And so 2 Peter is used a lot in terms of spiritual formations, and the reason is because Peter, when he wrote this book, he was actually, I don't know if he knew or not, but he had this idea that his time on earth was going to be limited. And so he wrote 2 Peter, a lot of it is going to be teaching about what's going to happen when he leaves. And so he wants to remind the church that, look, false teachers are going to come when I leave. In fact, not only are false teachers going to come, many people are going to start trying to convince you to get back into the world. And so remember, a lot of Peter's teaching mostly his teaching was to the Jews. And so a lot of them were going to go back into Judaism. And so he was saying, hey, don't do that. Continue in your growth. And so a lot of his teaching is teaching them, how do you continue to grow as a Messianic Jew and as a Christian? And so that's why it is used for spiritual formations. Now, how do we grow, right, as Christians? And how do we move along this sort of idea of spiritual formation? Well, it first comes from verse 5, right? Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. Well, actually, I couldn't really quite understand this, so I actually had to go to the NIV. For the first time in a long time, okay, the NIV actually has a more easily, better translation to this. And Peter says this, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith, goodness into goodness, knowledge. And so for the first point of what it means to grow spiritually in our walk is actually our spiritual formation and our growth requires our personal effort in order for us to grow. Okay? And so the idea is moving from circumstantial to self-seeking growth. In fact, if we were to look at the Greek behind verse 5, the word for moving in effort and making effort actually implies that it's not only we're only supposed to, yes, make decisions to do so, but we're supposed to do it with haste, with diligence, and with enthusiasm. And so the idea that we should actually be seeking ways to grow with such fervor that actually it becomes part of our lives and it changes our mindset towards trials and it changes our mindset towards how we grow, right? Not just begrudgingly as in, oh, right? Oh, God, you put me into this situation again and now I need to grow, or, oh, I'm going through this trial again, right? No, but we are to do it with, praise God, Lord, you're putting me into this situation so that I can see more of you. Lord, I'm going through this difficulty and recognizing you're not doing it to make me suffer, but because you desire for me to grow. And so this kind of goes to our first point of application is when we are put into the situation where, you know, there's some difficulty, our response should actually not be, Lord, why are you doing this, right? As we grow as Christians, our response actually should be, praise the Lord, amen, and God, help me to grow as quickly as possible in this regard, right? Not to mope around and be like, oh, Lord, you're doing this to me again, or God, why am I going through this situation again? No. Right? Peter's telling us we should do it with joy. Do it with enthusiasm. Lord, yeah, right? You're putting me through this so that I can grow. Right? And my own personal testimony in this way, and I think a lot of us as pastors is in the and maybe in our staff is the area of preaching. right? A lot of times, PSAM will leave to go on trips, and he'll ask, you know, who wants to preach? Right? And, you know, all of us, right? And part of us knows, you know, we should do it. But the other side of us say, well, you know, well, really, we should be saying, yeah, I should do it, right? In fact, not only should we be saying, I should do it, we should be doing it with joy. And not only should we be doing it with joy, we should do it with the recognition that God is going to do it through us. And so that is why when Peter is talking to them about applying these sort of spiritual applications for formation, he's saying do it with joy and seek it yourself, because we should be doing it for our own personal growth anyway. Okay, and so trials should no longer be trials, and growth should no longer be circumstantial. It should be self-seeking, right? In fact, a Christian writer named Kenneth Boa, yeah, he wrote a book named Conform to His Image. He's a writer, a mentor, he's a teacher, he's a speaker based out of New York City, and he works with a lot of Christian businessmen and a lot of Christian leaders, and he says this in his book, right, in terms of being conformed to Jesus in spiritual formations. He says this: our task is to place ourselves under the conditions favorable to growth and to look upon God for our spiritual formations, right? Our task is to place ourselves under the conditions favorable to growth and to look upon God for our spiritual formations. And so the idea is this: our Christian walk is not about comfort. Our Christian walk is not necessarily even about being able to find success, right? Our Christian walk is to be placing ourselves into the conditions where God can be God, and He forms us through His power and His ability to be faithful in our lives. And so if we're not placing ourselves in these situations, if we're not choosing to grow, actually, we're being pretty unbiblical, right? If we are sitting around waiting for God to do something, I mean, in some cases, we should be too, right? We should be moving at God's pace, but we should actually, in many cases, we should be seeking to grow, right? Right? And in the church, I mean, for the church, really, it's saying, how can I serve? And now, I don't want to make it sound like I'm pushing for the sake of serving. That's not it. But understanding that we grow through service, right? Or taking GIC, or taking EG, right? Or during the summer when house church is off, to actually take one of the SPLI, right? The summer SP, summer I forgot what it stands for. But basically the courses that we offer in the summer when Nate teaches or Larry teaches, right? Putting ourselves into the situations, though it may take up our time, though it may be difficult, all these sort of things, so that we can grow. It's already 30. Okay, I have four of these, but I'll just go through one more, okay? In fact, to further this, Professor Robert Mulholland, he's a professor at Asbury Theological Seminary, and he says this: what does it take for us to know God more clearly? Right? As Christians, all of us desire to know God. Each of us desire to know His will. But what does it take to know God more clearly? There are two essential ingredients. These ingredients are simply time and obedience. And by time, he continues in his book and in his writing, he says, by time, he's not just saying time as in time that passes by in our lives. So again, he further explains this idea that it's not just time that we sit and let pass, but it's time that we choose to take in this way, that the time that we invest into our growth, and the obedience, meaning applying what we learn in these time of investments, right? And so what does it take for us to grow in our spiritual formation, moving from circumstantial growth to self-seeking growth? Okay, that's kind of my first one. And you know what? I'll just go one more, and I'll make this one really quick. Okay, and this comes from verse 6, right? And your knowledge, self-control, and your self-control, perseverance, and your perseverance, godliness. Now, a lot of what Peter says here, talks a lot about our growth and our physical being, right? And I mean, we know what self-control is, we know what knowledge is, right? We know what perseverance is, right? All right, all these things have to do with continuing in our faith, right? Being able to control, being constrained by love, all of these things. Well, the idea of godliness, actually, for me, I couldn't quite understand it. And so I actually went to the Greek text. And the word godliness in this actually is eusebeia. I can't even say this part. Eusebeia. Eusebeia actually means to have piety or to have devotion or reverence to God. Okay, and so the idea behind this is actually as we grow, as we continue to put ourselves into a place of growth, not only should our characteristics grow, but our desire for God and our devotion for God should also grow. And this comes back to the idea that we, as we see God faithful, our devotion and our reverence for Him also grows. Because we recognize that in all that we do, it's not because of us, it's because of Him. And so when Peter is talking to the church, you know, I want to suggest to us is this, what I think he's saying is this, if our reverence for God is not growing, if our awe for God is not going, I would actually say that we are not growing as Christians at all. It's the idea that we need to see God continually faithful. We need to see God in such a way that He continues to speak into our hearts in which we continue to say, Lord, You are good. Lord, we worship You. Lord, we revere You. God, our devotion for You continues to grow in this way. And so let us close our eyes. I'll stop there. And let me go back to my first point of spiritual formation. I think, especially in Hong Kong, I mean, to be honest, this is everywhere. Even, I mean, in Toronto, Canada, the whole thing. But in Hong Kong, you know, and all that we do, to be honest, I think if we were to be completely, you know, honest with ourselves, I think a lot of what we do, despite being Christian, really is for our personal comfort and our joy and satisfaction. Not saying there's anything wrong with these things, right? There's nothing wrong with being satisfied or being comfortable. But when everything we do is for the sake of our comfort, I think then we've missed the point of what God has called us to in our relationship with Him. The idea of spiritual formation is not just to grow, but so that we can grow from an inward stance to an outward stance. I didn't get to this, but maybe a quick point is this, is the process of being conformed to the image of Christ actually is not just for ourselves, but it's for the sake of others as well. And so are we putting ourselves into situations where we grow? Are we putting ourselves into areas where God can prove Himself faithful in this way so that we can see God as God, so that we can grow in our faith, and so that our testimony also becomes an encouragement to those around us as well? So as Nate leads us, let's just worship God. As we were worshiping, I was reminded of Tyler's message that I think a lot of times we choose to do things or not to things, to do things, especially when it comes to our spiritual growth, is a lot of times based on fear. Right? Fear that we won't be able to do it. Fear that, you know, in some ways God may not come through or whatever the case may be. Let's really pray that we will put ourselves in situations where we can grow. And we make the decision based on faithfulness rather than fear. Let's pray. Let's turn our eyes to our community. Let's really pray for those in our community suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's really pray for God's providence over them. Let's pray for the resources to continue treatments. Let's pray for God's peace and comfort. Most of all, His healing over their bodies. Let's pray. Pray for those in need of healing, but also salvation as well. Let's really pray that God will reveal Himself to them, and that their hearts will be open to receive Him so that they can be healed, not just physically, but spiritually as well. Let's lift up. Pray for those in our community suffering from non-cancer related issues. Let's really pray that God brings His healing. Let's claim Isaiah 53 over them as well, that by His stripes that they're healed. So let's pray. Pray for those in our community in need of work. Let's really pray for God's favor and anointing over them, that even as they go into interviews and whatnot, that just something about them that employers just want to hire. Let's also pray for opportunities as well. Let's just pray for covering over their search. Let's turn to our Wednesday mission focus. Let's really let's pray for China. Let's pray for our SP Beijing family. Let's lift up Pastor Hyunsu and Chloe. Let's really pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, E. Clark, and the churches in China. Let's pray that God will move powerfully through each and every single one of these avenues, and that He will make China a God-fearing nation. Let's pray. Let's lift up our board. Let's pray for P-Sam and Kiwan, Bri, Sandro, Max, Jackie, Yiling. Let's pray for their families. Pray for covering over their marriages and their kids. Lift up P-Sam and Lisa as well, especially as they're traveling. Let's pray for travel mercies and that they'll have a great time and make it back as well. Let's pray for wisdom over our board. And just pray for covering. Pray for our fellowship ministries as well. Let's pray for men's ministry, women's ministry, and also young adults. So we pray for the leaders and those that attend that God will just do an amazing work through the programs and through the fellowship and discipleship. Let's lift up. Lift up our house churches as well that are currently on break, but let's pray for the leaders that they're having a good time of rest, and also for those that attend the house churches that they're also being renewed during this time as well. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much, God, for your word, Lord. And we thank you, God, for your encouragement, Lord. Help us, God, to continue to run, Lord, after you, Lord, with fervor, God, with diligence, God, endurance, God, and with joy. Help us, Lord, not to take our Christian faith, Lord, haphazardly, God, but to really put ourselves in the situations, God, where we can see you faithful and where we can grow as well. And so, God, I thank you for my friends, Lord. Will you bless them, God, today? Lord, will you keep them, Lord, throughout this week? Father, will you bless them in their relationships, their jobs, God, their all things that pertain to them? Father, will you cover them, Lord, and protect them, God, from any scheme of the enemy as well? And so, God, we thank you, Lord, so much, God. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a good time of prayer, and we'll see you tomorrow.